I'm very thankful that when I got converted, I didn't get converted to certain rules and avoid this and avoid that. Somehow the Lord brought me to be devoted to Him. In fact, the first book I studied in the Bible after I got converted was Song of Solomon. Intensely. It's the most marked book in my first Bible. I thank God for that. I was a young Christian, just born again. And somehow the Lord led me to that which was fundamental, which is devotion to Jesus Christ. And that is the most precious thing to me even today, even now. I sometimes wake up at night and long for Him, just like it says here. I seek for Him whom my soul loves. And I want to find Him. And He said, the bride says, I couldn't find Him. So I must get up and go about the city, verse 2, in the streets, in the squares. I must seek Him whom my soul loves, because I've lost the sense of His presence. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, especially those of you who don't commit any gross sin. You got a good testimony. Your conscience is clear most of the time. You don't do anything evil. You don't have any bitterness against anybody, and you're avoiding all evil. Do you have a passionate longing for Jesus Christ? To be in His presence all the time. And that when you say, Lord, where are You? I seem to have lost You. That I must find Him. And He says, I sought Him, verse 2, but I didn't find Him. And then it speaks of the watchman. These are other believers who don't have that same passion. And he asks, have you seen Him my soul loves? They couldn't help. And then I found Him, verse 4. And when I found Him, I held on to Him. And I would not let Him go. Yeah, that's a, Lord, I want You more than anything else. It starts like that sometimes in our Christian life. But then a little later, things change. We get a little reputation in the church. And once you get a little reputation in CFC, the great danger is you begin to slacken off. Mark my words and ask yourself if that is not true. That when you had no reputation in CFC, you were just a nobody. You really wanted Jesus. But now you have a sort of reputation in CFC. And you're not so passionate about having the presence of Jesus now, because you're somebody. You may not be an elder, but you're somebody. May God have mercy on you. You have lost something, brother, sister. I never want a reputation in CFC. It has no interest for me. I don't even want people to think, oh, I've got a good testimony. No, I want to. The passion of my life is, like the psalmist said, there's nothing on earth I desire beside You. Nothing, not even a good testimony. You, Lord, if I have You, I have everything. Not even a good conscience, beyond a good conscience. To me, my good conscience is that I'm in the presence of the Lord all the time. What happens sometimes with many believers is chapter 5. See, in chapter 3, the bride is seeking after the bridegroom and found Him and so happy. What a wonderful relationship it is in those early days. Do you remember those early days in your Christian life where nobody knew you, where you were just an insignificant believer, but you loved Jesus and you had wonderful times with the Bible? Early morning you would read and Jesus would speak to you and you'd speak to Him. But it's not like that now. What happened? It says in chapter 5, verse 2, I was asleep, but my heart was waking, and now my beloved is knocking. She's not going after the bridegroom now. The bridegroom, she's left the bridegroom. She's taken up. She's still got a good conscience, but she's left him. And he comes knocking at the door and says, open to me, my sister, my darling. Open to me. And what does she say from inside? A lazy response. I've taken off my dress, verse 3. How can I put it on again? I washed my feet. How can I dirty it again coming out with you? And then my beloved is still longing after me. The Lord is longing for fellowship with us. He extended His hand through His opening, and finally my feelings were aroused. And after a little bit of delay, I got up and I opened. But by the time I opened, verse 6, my beloved had gone. That's happened to me in the past. I've never wanted to happen again. Where I'm doing something, maybe I'm even writing an article, Christian article. And the Lord says, stop that. I want to have a little time with you. Maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes. I say, Lord, just wait. Just 15 minutes. I'll finish this article. Then I'll talk. Then I'll talk to you. So I finish the article. And then I seek the Lord. And I can't find Him. Exactly like here. He's gone. Have you had that experience? If you haven't had it, it's probably because you never have the Lord's presence. So even when He's absent, it's just the same as when He's all the time is like that. But those who have really known the Lord's presence in fervent love for Jesus know that something has happened. He doesn't seem to be here. It's not that you're committing gross sin or anything, but the presence of the Lord is not there. That first love has gone. I don't know how many of you believe that losing your first love for Jesus Christ is serious. Do you remember a time in your life when you loved Jesus all your heart and it didn't matter to you what anybody in the world said? It didn't matter to you what you lost or what you gained. You just loved Jesus so much that the opinion of men meant nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, that is true Christianity. If you have lost it, you have lost true Christianity. Whatever else you got is like a shell with all the right words. And that's why your Christian life becomes dry and boring. And it's a form. You go through the form and you do the right things, say the right things, you sing the songs, you come along for the meetings and the conference and everything. But it's a ritual. See, that's what happened in Malachi. We started in Malachi. Let's turn there in Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Now this is Old Testament, so that bride-bridegroom relationship was not there among God's people. It was like a servant, master and son and father. The Lord says in Malachi 1 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? You have despised me. And He says, how have you despised you? How do we despise the Lord? How do I despise this bridegroom of mine who loves me so much? How does a wife despise her husband? It's not by scorning him or spitting on him. We'd never do that to Jesus. I'll tell you how we can despise the Lord and be like that bride who didn't get up in time to meet the bridegroom. Here it is, that in our offering something to God, we don't give the best. You know, there was a law in the Old Testament that when you offer a sheep to God as a sacrifice, you must examine the sheep carefully to see that there's no defect at all. In fact, that was one of the jobs of the priests. Somebody brought a sheep and the priest would say, let me examine this whole sheep, the eyes, the legs and every part of it. There must be absolutely no defect. But what happened? In the beginning, they started like that, the Israelites. But by the time they came to Malachi time, it was the end of the Jewish period, 1,000 years since Moses' time, they would pick up some sheep and say, okay, well, let's give it. Especially, they say, oh, we've got to give a sheep to God. Let's pick up this one and give it. You know, it's like the way some people come to a meeting. Oh, it's time for the meeting Sunday morning. Let's go. Not really excited about the possibility of meeting with the Lord Jesus in the midst of God's people. It's just a routine. Sunday morning, time for the meeting, let's go. Let's listen to a message. Let's hope we get a good message. Let's hope we get a good message. More than, Lord, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with your people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I remember when I was seeking the Lord about ministry, and I said, Lord, I think of that word that when people prophesy, others who listen say, oh, God is here, 1 Corinthians 14. I said, Lord, that's what I want whenever I speak, that people must come and contact you and say, the Lord Jesus is here. He's speaking to us, not just that we heard a good message. I want you, my brothers and sisters, you may not be a preacher, but I believe when we come together, we can transmit some of the presence of the Lord. The Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians 2 of the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. The aroma of Christ. Aroma is a word connected with perfume. You know how if women particularly, if they have a strong perfume, you can sort of get that perfume, even an aroma, a little distance. You say, hey, here's a person with perfume. To have something of Jesus like that with us, that when people come to meet with us, they see something of Jesus. It's not always Jesus' kindness. It may be his strictness. Jesus is kind and strict. So, I don't want to have one-sided idea, but this must be our great longing. This is what it means to be a witness. You shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses, not to a doctrine, not to a new covenant teaching. You shall be witnesses unto me, to the uttermost parts of the earth. People who come in touch with you, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to somehow get something from the Lord. But that won't happen if we, in our private life and our attitude to give to God is, oh well, I have to do something. I have to go to the meeting. I have to do this. Always, what is the minimum I have to do to keep a good testimony in the church?